Hello and welcome. This is episode 7 of Malone Church Podcast. I'm Catherine Viner and I'm the minister at Malone. We're a church rooted and grounded in love because we're living and growing together for Jesus. Check out our website at malonepresbyterian.org or follow us on Facebook at Malone Church. This teaching series is called Finding Joy and it's based on the letter to the Philippians. And this episode is called This Is What I Want You to Know. Our text is Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 to 18. And Pat Gray's reading. And then John Tate at the end is going to lead us to pray.
This morning's reading is taken from Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 to 18a. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defence of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretence or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Amen.
To fully appreciate what Paul is saying in this part of his letter, and why we can trust what he says, and why we need to really learn from what he says here, we've got to turn briefly to another letter Paul wrote to another group of Christians in another city, in the city of Corinth. So if you have your Bible at hand, it probably helped to open it up at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to look at verse 24 to 27 very briefly. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul wrote that 5 times he received 40 lashes, 3 times he was beaten with rods, once he was stoned, 3 times he was shipwrecked. Often in his travels, he had no choice but to cross a dangerous river and risk being swept away and drowned, or travelled with the fear of meeting robbers. Often he had sleepless nights, fearful of being attacked. He had days when he was without food or water, hungry, thirsty. When he was cold, without shelter or warmth, suffering from exposure. And add to this then a further imprisonment, an impending trial, and a possible violent death by execution. Paul has suffered, and Paul is suffering. Paul knows suffering. So perhaps it's worth listening to what he has to say. These past few weeks, we have been confronted with the suffering caused by the coronavirus. We rightly pay tribute to all who are in the front line and serve us in our hospitals, care homes, grocery stores, and elsewhere. We're aware of or have experienced the effect of social distancing when we can't be with our loved ones, when we normally would have been by their side for things like birthdays, hospital visits, or just calling into the nursing home to see a parent or grandparent. Our hearts break for all of those who have lost loved ones and are unable to have a traditional funeral to help them in their grieving. When there is suffering, we try to make sense of it all. We try to piece together a narrative that creates some reasoning and logic. We try to know the truth and find answers to the problem of suffering. So it's no surprise that many are asking, why is this happening? Why all the suffering? And they do turn to the church for an answer. They want to know, our response. Surprisingly, and maybe even sadly, they may find many responses. Some say suffering is because you lack faith. You just need more faith to trust God for a miracle or healing. Some say, well, maybe you're being taught about thankfulness. Through this, you'll appreciate all the good things you have and that there are others worse off than you. So be thankful you're not them. Or some may say, well, look, God is responsible for this evil if God is sovereign or almighty. So just submit to it as God's plan for you. Others may say it'll not last, so just learn to cope in the meantime and God will get you back to normality where everything will just be fine. Or that you need to accept this is life and you just have to hold on to the hope that God promises in the afterlife a future glory with no more sin or suffering. Or you or someone else maybe has done a bad thing. Your life isn't right. You may have displeased God. So maybe that's why you're suffering. This last one was an explanation given to me whenever I began to suffer from chronic pain. That maybe there was something in me, a spiritual blockage, that was causing a disconnect between me and the goodness of God. These responses to suffering are nothing new. In the ancient book of Job, it recalls how his friends offered similar explanations trying to make sense of Job's suffering. And all these responses to suffering are still offered today, like Job's friends. And the Philippians most likely heard similar responses to their suffering as an explanation even for their dear friend and pastor Paul's suffering. Perhaps those who Paul refers to in this passage as being envious of him and trying to rival him, maybe they were saying Paul's suffering was a sign of God's displeasure. Maybe the result of an unconfessed sin that Paul had within him. Of course, there are occasions when the choices we make are in disobedience to God, and so our sinful words and actions, they have consequences that we experience. But Paul's suffering was not the result of a sin in his life. Indeed, his captors were bemused that Paul was in prison for choosing to follow Jesus, for his unrelenting commitment to Jesus. Paul wasn't suffering because of some unfaithfulness to God. He was suffering because of faithfulness to God. Nevertheless, Paul refers to those who, it sounds like, were ashamed of Paul's circumstances and perhaps felt that his suffering and persecution was a poor reflection on the gospel, and they saw it as an opportunity to undermine Paul's leadership and influence. They reckoned maybe what could possibly be good about his situation? Prisons, chains, a trial, a death sentence? In their opinion, this was the gospel defeated. If Paul was a man of God, then God would deliver him, successfully rescue him, and be good to him. Isn't that the truth? Paul's reply here in Philippians chapter 1, in this passage, you could sum it up as no. It's untrue, and that's unhelpful. That is what he's saying when he says, I want you to know. I want you to know the truth about suffering when we suffer with God. You see, the false narrative that some were sharing in Philippi is still present today in the church. It can appear when others ask, how are you? But we don't share how we truly are or admit our actual circumstances. Because maybe it's because at the back of our minds we worry that it might reflect bad upon us, a poor reflection of our faith or our goodness or our character or simply our ability to cope because we're suffering or those we love are suffering. However, what if we were to respond to the question, how are you? With, well, things aren't great, but I want you to know who God is with me in this suffering. Be it redundancy, cancer, parents' divorce, death of a loved one, infertility, addiction, imprisonment. And here's Paul in this passage writing from imprisonment saying, I want you to know that I have seen God's goodness in the midst of evil, and it's not hindered and it's not restricted. Paul explains that God has used his suffering for advancing the gospel. And this Greek word Paul uses for advancing, prokope, it comes from the word for pioneers or sappers in the army. Even today, sappers are the elite combat engineers, known in the British Army as the Royal Engineers. And they were used back at the time of Paul in the Roman army. Their job was the same then as it is today, to advance ahead of the troops and removing anything that prevents progress. They'll create a path by building roads, bridges, digging trenches, breaching fortifications. Today they have to clear minefields and ensure water supplies. The sapper had a dangerous job, but a necessary job that gave others confidence, hope, and success. Paul says, I want you to know that my imprisonment was like a sapper for God. It got the good news of Jesus into the lives of others, advancing to where it has never been before. Indeed, because of Paul, the gospel was heard at the highest levels of Roman society. Verse 13, he mentions the imperial guard. And if you skip over to the end of the letter, chapter 4, verse 22, Paul mentions members of Caesar's household. And along with this, Paul's imprisonment has inspired others. If he's willing to be in prison for King Jesus, why can't I? They're thinking, if he's willing to die for the gospel, why can't I? And if he can see the goodness of God in his suffering, why can't I? Paul says because of the gospel advancing as he is in prison, others have become more confident, bolder, and fearless. And they're saying, why can't I? Why can't that be me? Because see, Paul, by the way, is not some brand of super Christian that we can excuse ourselves from trying to imitate. He's no different from us. He even says in this letter to the Philippians that this stuff has brought him to tears. Paul suffered. And just like us, he didn't find any of that suffering easy. But what he did find was God with him as he suffered. The gospel is not that you will avoid all sin and suffering, as much as we would all like that. And the gospel is not that from now on, everything that happens is the will of God. Because what sort of God would will cancer or will COVID-19, child abuse or chronic pain or other forms of suffering? The gospel is that no matter what happens to you, God is with you. And because of Jesus, the gospel advances like an army sapper, clearing, removing, preparing, and building for success. The gospel does this because of Jesus' public brutal death by crucifixion in a tomb sealed with a huge stone and Roman guards on duty. And after 3 days, he left the tomb empty. The gospel is death would not hold him back, so he can be right by your side. Having suffered, God is with you in your suffering. So with Paul, who also suffered, we watch and wait to see the gospel advance to bring good out of evil. You know, many have just tried to describe what Paul is speaking about. Some call it creative suffering, or the glorious intruder, or the redemptive edge, or the compost out of which we grow, good out of evil. Yet, here is where we face our first hurdle. Do you define good in the same way God defines good? If I'm honest, what I consider good is often what makes me happy. Yet Paul defines good as to advance the gospel. So when the church in Philippi want to know from Paul, how are you? His reply is, it's hard to believe, but I want you to know that the gospel is making progress through me and my suffering. Regardless what some might think of my situation, that's why I rejoice. At a time, Malone, when people are asking, why is this happening? Why the suffering? Our lives that are not immune or shielded from suffering, just like Paul's, can be a story of what God can do through Jesus. So what if when someone asks you, how are you? What if we're ready to say like Paul, well, here's what I want you to know about how I am and who God is with me in this. Because we can share this gospel in our lives. It's because we have found joy with God in our lives that it is gospel, it is good news, and it's worth sharing. Let me leave you with a story that is the background to one of the songs of the week called How He Loves. It's written by a guy called John Mark McMillan. And John Mark had been at a night of prayer with his friend Stephen Coffey. Stephen was the church youth leader. And John Mark remembered what Stephen prayed that night because he couldn't believe what he heard. Stephen prayed if it would shake the youth of this nation, I would give my life. That night, Stephen died in a multiple car crash. This movement that Stephen spoke of, John Mark pursued, waiting for the Lord to shake the youth of the nation and wake up to who God is. But 3 years later, nothing had happened. But one night, 3 years later, at a stadium where John Mark McMillan was playing and singing his songs, he sung the song, How He Loves, the one he wrote the day after his friend had died. He'd never sung it before, but he couldn't believe how that stadium joined in as he sung the song and the sense of the Spirit of God. It now has over 45 million views on YouTube. The song has been sung on the TV program The Voice. It's been nominated for a Dove Award in 2010. But this song was born out of a need to have some sort of a conversation with God about suffering. And it's a song about a God who sticks around when things aren't good. It's a song of a God who listens again and again and again to our cries and stays with us, because this is how he loves. This is one of our songs for this week to listen to along with the podcast. There's a link in the Malone News Weekly and on our Facebook page. Play this song, listen to it, and really prayerfully think about what is your story that you want others to know about who God is in your life. Because that is the gospel, and each one of us can share it like Paul.
Let us pray. Father, as we sit and listen quietly in the comfort of our own homes, we are very aware that many others aren't able to do that. Some are working in hospital on the front line or in the support services, while others are serving in shops or ensuring our basic services such as water, electricity, and refuse collections are kept going. So many people are essential workers, and we give thanks for their commitment and expertise, and we pray for their protection. We also know that those in hospital as patients are isolated from families, and that this separation is so difficult for everyone. We pray that they all feel your presence and experience your peace, and that you bring them hope and healing. Father, it's so easy to overlook the wonder of your creation all around, when the news is so often about brokenness and destruction. And it's so easy to overlook the promise of tomorrow when we're surrounded by the despair of today. Lord, we know that you're in control and that you love and care for each one of us, and we pray that we put our trust in you. Until we're able to meet again as a congregation, we pray that our church family stays strong and keep serving each other and those around us with love and compassion. Although we are apart and worshipping remotely, there are so many ways we can keep connected, and we pray that we remain faithful to you and full of faith. Lord, we place all these things into your hands, and we pray that your church becomes an even brighter beacon in a dark and broken world, so that all might see your power and give you the praise. These things we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy these podcasts, then please share them. Stay connected through Malone Church Facebook and find information on our website. Stay safe, stay at home, and stay faithful.